From the United Kingdom, this is the Hawthorne Report. News and analysis from a white nationalist perspective. Insights and commentary that affect your lives. News for you, uncensored by the Jew. And here's your host, James Hawthorne.
Welcome to the Hawthorne Report, everybody. This is your news portal without the Jewish filter. What's been happening? Mass marching mestizos in the United States. 500,000 of them in Los Angeles. 500,000 in Texas. Hundreds of thousands in other major cities of the United States. One begs the question here, where were the white people? I'll tell you where the white people were. They were sitting at home with a can of Budweiser in one hand and the remote control in the other, watching Negroes playing basketball. That's what the white people were doing, while these mestizos are marching in their major cities of the country. White people are sitting at home and they couldn't give a damn. Well, that situation is about to change in the United States and also in Europe too. They're coming to a situation where the white people can't sit on their doofus any longer. They've got to get out on the streets and fight back, or their countries are going to be taken over by these filthy Mexicans and these people from the third world. White people have to wake up, and they've got to wake up now. In the news, the British National Party gains 50-plus seats in a series of local elections in the United Kingdom. This is one of the major gains by the BNP since the humongous vote they got in the European elections. So this all bodes well for an eventual awakening of the British population in Great Britain. Norway Progress Party, the Nationalist Progress Party, all indications are that this political organisation next year in the general election may become the first nationalist government since 1945. This will be the first domino that falls in Europe. Everyone and all nationalist eyes are on this right now. And if Norway becomes the first nationalist government, then the dominoes will start to fall. Mark my words. The French elections are next year, and Jean-Marie Le Pen of the Front National will be standing. Everything bodes well for him. He may get a huge vote since all these riots that have been happening in France. Jean-Marie Le Pen's Front National support has skyrocketed, and they've mentioned that all the emails and requests for party literature and party membership, they just can't cope. BNP reports the same. Mass inquiries from the fed up white British public, into the BNP HQ can't cope with the amount of inquiries. This is good news. Ernst Zundel, back in court in Germany, the continuing saga of the great revisionist Ernst Zundel continues, where he fought the Holocaust lie in Canada, where he left Canada after many years of fighting free speech and the Holocaust lie, left and went to live with his wife in Tennessee in the United States. One dark morning, the INS showed up on his doorstep on some bogus claim that he missed an immigration hearing, and now Ernst was deported to Canada, where he spent 3 years in some grotty gulag jail in Canada, and after that he was deported to Germany, where the great Zundel trial 2, or is it 3 or 4, he's been involved in so many trials, I can't keep up, is on trial right now. Also, Gemmel Rudolph was deported from Chicago to Germany for his treatment of the Holocaust lie. Truth is no defense if you criticize world Jewry or the great Holocaust lie itself. Immigration is the major theme of this program, of this first edition of the Hawthorne Report. What a great story from The Independent, and I'll read this for you. John Reed, who's the head of the Home Office. Now, the Home Office, remember, is this great organization in Great Britain that oversees our immigration policy. And here's this story. John Reed was accused of misleading the public after it was claimed that five illegal workers had been cleaning immigration service offices for years. The group of Nigerians was detained on Thursday after being sent to the London offices of the Immigration and Nationality Directorate by a cleaning company, Tech Clean. Mr. Reed insisted that they had been stopped at the gates before they could start work and said it proved the system was working, but his version of events was contradicted by the Surrey-based company that supplied the five cleaners. I bet it did. In a statement to Channel 4 News, it said, each of the five individuals has worked at the premises of the NID on a number of occasions, one of them for about 3 years. The program reported that that two of the men had been working in the IND for 2 years, one man for 1 year and one for 6 months. After the initial claims, Mr. Reed gave a series of interviews in which he praised the alertness of the security staff that apprehended the cleaners. Really, he said, like all good employees, we check the credentials of everybody who works in our buildings and those who work for our contractors. When a group of people turned up and who had not been cleared of our security people, they immediately noticed this, called in the authorities, and they were arrested. I don't think that's a sign of chaos, said Mr. Reed. David Davis, the Shadow Home Secretary, launched a fierce attack on Mr. Reed last night. Yet again, we see the Home Office and now the Home Secretary has misled the public over a very serious breach of national and home security. A Home Office spokesman promised last night to investigate the new allegations fully and as completely and quickly as possible. The spokesman said Mr. Reed made it absolutely clear that no system was 100% foolproof and that there may have been occasions in the past where people got through the system, really. Tech Clean told Channel 4 News that all five of the men had been through the company's normal checking process. Four had their passports and national insurance documents checked and had visa entry details. The fifth had a letter from the Immigration Service confirming the right to work in the UK. Mr. Reed is desperately trying to draw a line under the crisis that has paralysed the department since the admission last month that 1,023 foreign prisoners had been released without deportation hearings. But the bad headlines had continued in recent days. A senior NID official has admitted that he did not have the faintest idea how many illegal immigrants were in Britain. This is the British government here telling us they have no idea how many illegal immigrants were in Britain. When you look at a political organisation like the Labour Party and also the Conservative Party, both of these parties have acquiesced to the mass immigration of Great Britain. Over 300,000 immigrants are coming into this country. We can't sustain it. We are a small island. This must stop. Yeah, we have the Labour Party and we have the Conservative Party, as I said before, acquiescing and allowing these people in. Just like in the United States, where the Republicans and the Democrats, both those parties, want mass illegal immigration for the voting pool, want mass immigration for the voting pool, and also for the cheap labour, also in Great Britain too. The voting pool helps the Labour Party with all these immigrants coming in, and also it helps all these Tories who want to hire these people for cheap labour, and they use the same excuse that they use in the United States, that British people don't want to do those jobs. That's absolutely bogus. It's bogus in the United States, and it is bogus in Great Britain. White people will do these jobs if you give them a fair wage. We all know that. New Orleans re-elects Mayor Nagin. Yes, Mayor Nagin. Chocolate Nagin, as I call him. He mentions that New Orleans should become a chocolate city. Now, the people re-elected this nitwit. The people of the hurricane-hit U.S. city of New Orleans have narrowly re-elected Ray Nagin to lead them as mayor. Mr. Nagin won 52% of the vote in a second-round runoff, beating fellow Democrat Mitch Landrieu. He now faces the task of overseeing reconstruction work and helping tens of thousands of people displaced by last year's hurricane to return to the city. Mr. Nagin's handling of the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina and his brash style has polarized opinions in New Orleans. No kidding there. In his victory speech, Mr. Nagin tells supporters, "We are ready to take off. We have citizens around the country who want to come back to the city of New Orleans, and we're going to get them all back to the city of New Orleans so as they can rob, rape, and murder again, no doubt." Mr. Landrieu, who won 48% of the vote, called on both sets of supporters to come together. "We as a people have got to come together so we can speak with one voice and one purpose. Join with me in supporting Mayor Nagin," he said. Race issues. Experts have expected the city to vote largely along racial lines. Mr. Landrieu is white and the son of the city's last white mayor. Mr. Nagin, who is black, chocolate black, is thought to have alienated many white voters last year by saying New Orleans ought to remain a chocolate city. There you go. But his election victory shows many whites nonetheless voted for him in the runoff. Both mayoral contenders had campaigned to rebuild New Orleans. More than half of the residents who fled Hurricane Katrina last year had not returned to the city, where many neighborhoods are still uninhabitable. A federal judge refused to postpone the first round despite fears too many residents scattered by the disaster would be unable to vote. Civil rights leaders have called the election unfair because of the lack of out-of-state polling centers. And believe it or not, Reverend Jesse Jackson has pledged to challenge the poll in the courts regardless of the outcome. This is the same Mayor Nagin who allowed his black savages in the Nigger Dome to rape, murder, and kill innocent white people in that hellhole of a situation that transpired during the Hurricane Katrina. We watched this Hurricane Katrina over here in the United Kingdom. It was savagery. It took less than 24 hours for a 21st city in the United States to turn into African savagery. Less than 24 hours that happened. And we witnessed it all on the television. Through the Jewish filter, we saw it on television. Barbarity, savagery of the Negro. Killers, murderers, animals, that's all you can call them. And Mr. Nagin is representative of these people. And I use the word people in a very, very loose context there. Getting back to the savagery which we witnessed in Hurricane Katrina, their brethren in South Africa, since the white government of South Africa has passed away and is no longer with us. South African police accused of ignoring ritual murders is a news report which came to my attention. Even in a country grown accustomed to horrific acts of violence, it is a crime that still shocks. Multi-murder, in which human body parts are removed to be used in traditional medicine, is increasing in South Africa, but victims' families complain that the police too often ignore it. The murder of 4-year-old Connie Newby, whose mutilated body was discovered in a river near her home east of Pretoria by her father last month, has sparked a public outcry and demands for tougher action against the gruesome crimes. Jabu Jalala said, "I was shocked to see my daughter that way. It took me 10 minutes to identify her because of the way they cut at her. I couldn't believe someone could be doing something like this." Mr. Majala condemned the police for not responding to his calls for almost 12 hours after Connie disappeared. "If they had sent police to search for my daughter when we asked them to, she would be alive today," he said. It was only after a report of her death appeared in a local newspaper, Mr. Majala said, that the police launched a full investigation and eventually identified a suspect, a neighbor with links to the traditional healers, who has not been caught. According to the South African Council of Churches, there have been 49 ritual killings in one district of Limpopo province along since the mid-1980s, including that of a 7-year-old boy, Manuel Nuahala, whose mutilated body was found in a stream next to his house last month. Yet, from all of these, there has been only 4 arrests and no convictions. The South African Council of Churches is calling for the cases to be reinvestigated. Reverend Tisu The South African Council of Churches district chairman said, "We're very worried about ritual killing at the moment, but the police seem not to be interested. People have been identified as suspects, so why are the police not arresting them? Probably the police are involved in this ritual killing as well, because they're all a bunch of savages. Usually they say these people have been eaten by a fish or crabs after drowning in the river, but what kind of a fish is that that just eats human private parts?" Disquiet at the lack of police response has grown since it emerged that South Africa's occult-related crimes unit, set up in 1992 to investigate multi-Zulu for medicine killings and Satanism, has quietly been disbanded. I'm not making this up, folks. The unit, which once numbered 52 officers, was closed, according to a police spokesman, because the murder, the number of reported crimes was too low to justify its existence. But the unit's former... The unit's founder, Kobus Jonker, who has since retired, described that explanation as unbelievable. In 2000, he said it had dealt with 300 cases of multi-related crimes and that number was definitely increasing, he said. "If this unit has closed down completely, it's a terrible thing. It's not just anyone who can do this sort of investigation. You must know the culture and the superstitions of people," he said. "The belief that body parts contain powerful magic which can be used to bring good luck, help a woman to get pregnant, or even make a criminal invisible to the police is widespread in Africa, and the rewards for these unscrupulous traditional healers or sagamos who are willing to supply them are huge. According to Mr. Jonker, a human head could fetch up to £1,150. The victim isn't very alive when the body parts are taken, as it is believed that their victims make the multi even more powerful. Estimates of the number of multi-killings vary widely from 6 a year to 100. Anthony Minar, a professional of criminal justice studies at the University of South Africa, said, "Because it is often done in secret and the body is disposed of down a mound shaft or similar, the incidence is much higher than is reported. Some of the 800 to 900 children reported missing in South Africa every year are likely to have been murdered for multi," he said. Mr. Minar said he believed that some policemen don't want to get involved because they think they might themselves be bewitched. Superintendent Ati Lam Prekta, who became the head of the occult-related crimes unit in 2000, said that it had not been disbanded but had been absorbed into other units. "The capacity is there, it does exist, but it is not a task that is full-time," he said. Information appearing on the Telegraph. This is a Telegraph news report from Great Britain. There you go. Ritual killings. And they're saying 300 cases so far that have come to light. If it's 300, if they're admitting it's 300 that these savages are killing each other, then it's probably more than 300. Just reinforces. Here we have United States Chocolate Nagin gets re-elected. We watched the barbarity of Hurricane Katrina and what those savages did. It doesn't take a great leap. We go to South Africa, that once had a white nation where civilization ruled. Now that's gone and African barbarity is replaced. That's what happens when white people leave. When white people leave, barbarity follows. If Africans are involved, if blacks are involved, barbarity follows. They are a barbaric, savage animals. That's what they are. They don't belong in white Aryan lands. And we need to shift them back to Africa where they can cut each other up with glee. And we can let them to it. Even in Africa, as we know, these savages rape young virgins because they think that they are going to be free of AIDS. That's the mindset of these animals. They're not humans. They are animals, and we need to leave them in Africa. We need not to fund them. We need not to feed them. We just need let them go there in that continent where they walk on their bare feet and there's gold, and they didn't know how to mine that gold. It was the white man who mined that gold. Getting back to the news, Israel is once again murdering and killing with American weaponry, I remind you, Palestinians in the Middle East. Israeli strikes kill Palestinians. The BBC is reporting 4 Palestinians have been killed and several injured in an Israeli airstrike on a car in Gaza City. A senior militant from Islamic Jihad and 3 members of a family were among the dead, including a child. Islamic Jihad said Mohammed al-Duha was one of its senior engineers involved in weapons manufacturer. The Israeli army has struck at militant targets in this way many times before. The strikes form part of their efforts to stop militants from firing rockets into Israel territory. For their part, militants often say their attacks are in retaliation for Israeli military action in both Gaza and the West Bank. In the latest strike, a missile was apparently fired from an unmanned plane into the city center. The attack tore apart Duha's car and also caught others traveling nearby. A grandmother, a mother and her 4-year-old son were killed. The Israeli military confirmed an air attack on what it described as a militant target and said Duha was responsible for firing rockets into Israeli towns. Islamic Jihad vowed revenge for the killing. The attack came after a day of high tension in Gaza City, which saw the Palestinian intelligence service chief seriously injured in a blast at the organization's main office. At least one person was killed in the blast, which staff working for intelligence chief General Tariq al-Rajab called an assassination attempt. Correspondents are reporting said the latest incidents are set to stroke rising tensions between rival Hamas and the Fatah factions. Here we go again. Israel firing and an unmanned aeroplane, probably supplied by the United States, right into the city center with no fear of who they're going to kill. So long as they get their man, they will kill grandmothers, they will kill mothers, and they will kill children. They have been doing this since 1948, since the foundation of this shitty little state in the Middle East where they stole the Palestinian land. They have been murdering grandmothers, they have been murdering mothers, and they have been murdering children with glee, abandon, and the rest of the world just looks on, shakes its head and does nothing. The United States gives this shitty little country in the Middle East $3 billion a year. I'll say that again. The United States government gives Israel $3 billion a year to fund this sore on the Middle East. We got to wake up. Everyone's got to wake up. We have to wake up to the immigration invasion into our lands. We got to wake up to Israel and their ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people, which has happened since 1948. We've got to assert our rights as the indigenous populations of our country, as white people, as builders of civilization. We've got to get together, organize, get involved in groups, spread the word every which way we can. We've got to get together, white people. This is the chance. We've only got one chance. When 2050 comes along in all our white homelands, it's all over. We can get to power democratically before that, but as the racial demographic continues against us, where the immigrants are outbreeding us, white people are not breeding because of, as we know, the Jewish media. White people can have 2 kids, yeah. The immigrants can have 4 or 5, 6 kids. And oh, we know who's behind the media. Don't have to dig too deep. Who Rules America is a great pamphlet. I recommend that for your reading. You can find that online at navman.com. Who Rules America. Also, search out Who Are the Mindbenders, a great booklet about the Jewish influence in the media in Great Britain. Both those show who is pushing this immigration invasion, who is pushing Negroes onto our white blonde women, who is pushing savagery into our lands. One word, it's the Jews. We've got to stop it. We've got to work together, unite as a force to be reckoned with. We need to get our people elected. This is starting to happen in Europe. It needs to happen more in the United States. Let's get organized. Let's stop the infighting. If we have different strategies about how we can do things, let's just do it. Let's stop attacking each other. Let's push forward. We have things to do, white people. We have things to do. We have issues to solve. We have countries to save. We must come together, united, forever, otherwise we're going to die. Again, 2050, that's the big date. 2050 is the date where white people will become a minority in all our white homelands. That point, we cannot gain power through the ballot box. Then maybe other measures need to be taken. If that is the case, if we haven't gained power by that date, other measures will probably have to be taken. But we need to get into the electoral process right now. That's the only avenue we have got. Keep it legal. Get in the electoral system in every part of your country. Start at local level. Get in the United States. Start in your school, councils if you need to. Start at your local state level. Then move up. We can't run before we can walk. That's what we are doing in Great Britain, starting at local level, building support at local level, and hopefully that will transport us into national power by 2015. We have a target in Great Britain that we would hope to be in power, national power in Great Britain by 2015. Norway, as I said earlier in the program, Norway could have fallen. The first domino may fall next year in Norway when the Nationalist Progress Party wins the general election. Even if it doesn't win the general election, it will be the largest second party in Norway. France again, Jean-Marie Le Pen of the Front National, great election chance next year in France with the National Front. Presidential election, Jean-Marie Le Pen standing again. He caused shockwaves last time he stood with the huge vote he got, and he even defeated the second largest party, the socialist candidate, and Jean-Marie Le Pen, the Front National, came second, caused shockwaves through France. And since then, now we've had riots in France, so it all bodes well for maybe France falling anytime soon. But we all have to work together. Get into the electoral system. Let's get out from our computers and get onto the streets, pushing the literature, pushing the flyers, pushing the leaflets, pushing the message. We must think 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Those of us who are awake, we must push our message to the people every chance you get. Out on the street, if you're out on the street, have some business cards in your hand for the organization that you support. Put these business cards in places where people can see them, at bus stops, in the library, in books, in historical books that you know people will read, and that would identify with our racial cause. Do everything we can to spur our people, to give them a contact address, a telephone number, an email address for our organizations. Let's get active, everybody, on the streets. Let's get everyone out there spreading our message of white hope and white victory and white justice for our culture, our heritage, our white people. If we don't do it, the people who are awake, no one else is going to do it. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, when the mestizos were mass man marching in the United States. Where were the white people? Where were the white people? I said before, they were sitting at home on their doofus with their Budweiser in one hand and their remote control in the other, watching Negroes playing basketball. That's what they were doing. And the reason they were doing that is because they weren't stimulated to action. We, as awake nationalists, as awakened white nationalists, we are the impetus, we are the gasoline for this movement and for this struggle and for this upcoming revolution. We can do this peacefully through the electoral process, but we have to get out there, unite, stop slandering each other. Let's just do our best to push forward our message. This is James Hawthorne. Thank you for listening to the program, and I'll see you next time.
The Hawthorne Report is a production of Vanguard News Network Broadcasting.